movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. War after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Oh, welcome to, I cut myself off. How about that? Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Tonight, I'm going to tackle a very controversial subject that can go in so many different directions. Those welcome. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this program. On a Friday, the 28th of February. Wow. March coming up. What shall it bring? March will march right on. We'll see what happens. Tonight, I'm going to tackle a very controversial subject. Creation, the physics of the universe. Oh, don't I step in it or what? I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to answer all the questions, obviously, in an hour and a half program, but might even go into part two next week. I don't know. I'm going to answer some questions, but I'm not going to get into extreme details. You've got Hugh Ross and you've got, oh goodness, Hovind. You got so many. You got long earth, short earth days. So many theories, so many. It's going around to cause confusion and other people that don't cause confusion. They just man trying to figure it out with man's dimensional capacity, which is not going to happen. So I just try to stay strictly with the Bible, what it says, instead of trying to put things into it. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get down to talking about the creation of the world and creation of the universe, actually, and try to put things in perspective the best I can. And certainly do your own research. Fact remains, we're here. That's pretty basic. And that's really what matters the most, is the fact that you are here. You do exist. A physical illusion or not, you're here. And you're created for one purpose, maybe two, to glorify God, to worship God, and to love each other, care about each other. That's the bottom line. I wasn't created. Man wasn't created so we could exalt ourselves. We were created to exalt God. And by doing that, it takes the focus off of ourselves, the created, that was brought here. God didn't bring me here so I could, climb Mount Everest or to have a record that goes against his World Book of Records or something, another. He didn't create me to glorify myself. And so what happens if we don't glorify God? If he doesn't demand that we focus our attention on him, guess what? We're going to focus attention on ourselves as my own creator, co-creator. God, move over. We're taking over. We don't have a clue how we got here, but we're taking over anyway. Thirdly, if we don't glorify God, we have an adversary, and he wants glory for himself. It's called Satan, and he's not some hyperbole. He's not some mythological creature that represents man's evil. He's an actual entity. And demons also, like supernatural people, they have assignments, and they exist in another dimensional space and capacity, which I'll talk about tonight. It's physics, chemistry, biology. It's real. Space is three dimensions, third heaven, second heaven, and the first heaven. Man, I feel like I'm in seventh heaven. You won't find that in the Bible. There's no seven heavens. There's three. Not seven. Now, there's seven principalities, powers of darkness. You'll find those seven principalities within the second heaven. Oh, it's starting to get a little complicated now. Seven principalities. The seven principalities of Satan. Principality of powers of darkness. Sometimes used as a cliche. But do you really know what it means? Can we even figure out what it means? We can discuss it. The principalities get a little complicated. Satan's got his own little world going on there. And if I don't get that to today, I'll cover it later. You got the as above, so below, and it gets all into physics and such. Sometimes it really gets complex, and you can drive yourself crazy enough to try to figure it all out. But remember, mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. So we got to go with what we know, and that's the King James Bible. Otherwise, you sit floundering around in the water trying to find a way to come to the surface, but our minds do not fully comprehend it. I'm going to sort of take my time tonight and just kind of go through it. And then you do your own research. You do your own research. I just have my research that I can offer. But you got to do your own. And pray about your own conclusions. But always base it on the Bible. And where it's supported by the Bible. That's the bottom line. So, and that old term, you ever hear that term, as above, so below? There's a lot to do with that. Very complex, actually. So I'm going to try to cover as much as I can tonight and then maybe next week as well. Depends how far we get today. And, of course, Saturday and Sunday, I'm not going to have Bible study until, I don't know, I was going to think about doing it Saturdays, but I do need a day or 2 days to kind of regroup and get ready for next week. But that's not the main reason. The main reason, actually, I was going to do a Skype call-in or something like that. And I know that they can, if somebody wants to take you down, and I know it's been done, and it's been tried on me once before. And I almost forgot about that, like 3-4 years ago. They have, and I don't understand how it works, really, but they can call you in on Skype. If they can get you to call in to them, get connect with Skype, there's a computer program of sort, or software, or, I don't know, virus or something or another that... a device, a method, call it what you want, that they can use Skype as a doorway to get inside your computer somehow or another. So I'm very careful about using my Skype. I almost forgot about one day, and somebody reminded me. So you got to be careful about that. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have tonight for this Bible study. Father, we call upon you to forgive us of our sins. Lead us away from temptation, Lord, that sometimes it comes upon us that your Holy Spirit will point us in the right path. And your conviction of the Spirit, Lord, will get our attention. Father, we pray tonight you lead us in Bible study. And Lord, you give us wisdom through your Holy Spirit. Father, to touch those that's here to study. And Father, to give them opportunities to learn and give them opportunities to find the truth also and share it with all of us. And Lord, as we move right along in those days that's coming, to guide us with your Holy Word. And Father, guide us next week in our Bible studies and our broadcasts. And Father, to show us through the end times with your wisdom and discernment to keep us away from deception, to give us that wisdom. And this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I guess the best place to start, family, is... not to be a cliche, but in the beginning, and basic, creation, Genesis chapter 1, I think that's a good place to start. I think that's a good guess. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You ever wondered at any time why God... or why the first book of the Bible is called Genesis? Well, I told you we're going to start basic. It means beginning, pretty much. And the book of Genesis is a story of beginnings. It tells us the beginning of the universe, the start of the universe, the beginning of the earth, and beginning of the human race. But the book of Genesis don't tell us about the beginning of God. For that reason, the reason for this is that God had no beginning. Now, if it's okay with you, I'm going to leave it there. Because I don't know about you, maybe some of you all do, but I don't have the dimensional capacity to understand what I've just said. Because... for being like God, to have no beginning whatsoever in a material state mind, is there's no way to comprehend that. We think of it, we think of material things that had beginnings and it rots, it rusts, it consumed or goes away, right? If it doesn't do that, it changes into something else, but it's all physical, material. If you notice, there's one thing in common in this world. It's entropy. Now, some of these pounds I've got, I wish to entropy a little bit, but the world's entropy. How does entropy? How does a creation that's in entropy? How does it continue? It's dying. Never, it wasn't created to die, but everything rots, rusts, consumed, changes. And mutations are simply a being or, mutations in a living thing or even a plant means it's missing something. It doesn't mean it's added to. Species change, that's not a mutation. But where's all these come from? And the world in entropy means it goes backwards. So how does that create? You see, all kinds of questions come up when you sit back and think about it. God has always existed. God existed in all his power and glory before a single thing in the universe was created. Before the beginning of anything, God was there. So you ask, how long has God existed? Well, what might sound like a cop-out, he's always existed. The universe hasn't always existed. Something can't come from nothing. And in the physical world, it's something. But the supernatural world is something we don't understand. God has so many more dimensions than we can even imagine. And Satan and the created can never imagine a creator that certainly because he created has more dimensions than the created world. If you go to Psalms 90 verse 2, it sort of, in a way, gives you a clue. I know if there's any scientists listening, they're probably going to be scratching around in their seat. If they have leather seats, it's going to get hot because they're going to get irritated because they have all this scientific knowledge in their head, which is limited. No human being has the mind capacity of God. It's impossible. And yet we think we do. There's some things I'll never understand. I'm okay with it because I know I don't have dimensional capacity. What do you mean by dimensional capacity? Well, make it simple. A monkey does not have the dimensional capacity to understand how to build a rocket. But he does have the dimensional capacity that you do to peel a banana. That's pretty easy. You can train him to do tricks, but you can't train him to build a rocket on his own. He doesn't have the dimensional capacity. A worm, in his dimensional capacity, does not have the capacity to peel a banana. Or neither does a possum, for that matter, might eat it. Well, he might. Yeah, he could do it, I guess. Won't be as easy as a monkey would, because a monkey is a little smarter. Dimensional capacity. A dog or a cat is what's called a S-O-U-L, soulish animal, does not have the dimensional capacity to meet you for lunch at a certain time in a certain restaurant. You can tell your dog, Old Yeller, hey, Old Yeller, meet me at the grocery store at 1 o'clock or 30 minutes. The dog's going to, yeah, give me some food. He's not going to understand you. He does not have the dimensional capacity. Satan, the fallen angels, do not have the dimensional capacity of God to see the future. If they did, they wouldn't be so stupid. You got to admit it, on the supernatural realm, they made so many mistakes that condemned them. if they'd known the future, that they wouldn't have made. So God has dimensional capacity to see the future. But the fallen angels do not. They only have knowledge from trial and error, but they do not have wisdom nor discernment that a human being can get from God when you're born again. And that's why they want to use technology, mind control, witchcraft, to get inside the mind of a Christian to find out what God's up to. Because God gives you wisdom and discernment, and Satan wants to find out what that is. So he'll be ready for the end times, because he knows God tells his prophets what he's going to do before he does it. You see what's going on today? Now you know why they have mind control. Why they use yoga and other means of and the occult and the Ouija board and all that to get a Christian possessed by tricking them. Harry Potter and witchcraft and making it fun, so I will do something that's going to open up a portal, allowing a demon to come inside me to be able to tap in to that wisdom and discernment. Now you see. Remember what I've said, because this is true. About that part and what's going on today. Because they don't know what God's going to do. They don't know. Jesus is coming soon. They don't know when. Soon is relative. But God's got them so jumpy. They got him so jumpy like a cat, long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Jesus come up because they know. When Jesus comes back, they're going to hell for an eternity. Their little party time is over. They know their time is coming. Are you here, Jesus Christ, to torment us before our time? The demon said to him through the boy. Because they know their time is coming. And the witches know, or told, that there's a day coming that they'll have carte blanche, the day of the Lord, the day of witches. But they don't realize what's going to happen after. You know, we live in a fantastic universe. Our sun is large, it contains a million worlds. You know that Jupiter is really a sun? You know that recently they came up and said they found 715 planets all of a sudden? They're setting up for disclosure, aliens, and all that sort of thing. That's what NASA was created for. That was the purpose of creating NASA. And then putting them under a blood oath, under Freemasonry, a blood oath not to tell the lies that they're telling. Partial truth. Risk deception. The question of going to the moon is highly doubting. If you do the research, you'll find it's true. That there's a very big doubt that we even went past 300 miles of the atmosphere. Out in space, maybe, to a certain extent, but within the Van Allen belt. Go outside the Van Allen belt. It's like throwing your pet cat into a microwave. Turn it on. And please don't do that. And you go outside the Van Allen belt, because that's what the Van Allen belt's all about, is to keep the radiation that pervades in the universe from cooking you up. It's like being in a gigantic Faraday cage or something of that nature. There are stars in space so large that it would easily hold 500 million suns the size of ours. Now, that's big. The giant star Antares, Antares, is said to be so large that if it were a hollow ball, the the sun and earth would be put inside it. The earth would be continuous orbit around the sun and never come halfway to the outer edge of Antares. Now that darn thing is big. And so precise is the clockwork of the heavens that you can foretell eclipses or visits of a comet years in advance. You know, you can even know with mathematical precision the position of any given star any moment of time. And you know what? They've calculated this, the fallen angels, using mankind and the technology, because at only certain times that portals are opened that they can come in and out of. They live on these planets in a supernatural form. That's why different days of the week represent certain fallen angels that live on those planets as orbs. They're coming back and forth through portals. That's what all the sacrifices and so forth is for. Now, I'm going to touch things as I go along. Little tidbits here and there you might pick up on. Disasters, death, the giving up of life forces is absorbed by the supernatural in the second heaven. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. These order and precision, it's not the product of chance. There had to be some incredible power to bring such these stars into being. They didn't create themselves. There has to be an incredible power to control them. Set them in motion. The universe is kind of a macrocosm of the particles that make us up, like atoms and so forth. It's all kind of one big... one big signature of God's plan. Called the fingerprint of God. Spirals they're talking about. The mathematical precision is unbelievable. The Fibonacci principle and so forth. Yeah, I know about it. Fibonacci. Is that the way you pronounce it? Spaghetti. Anyway. So how did the universe come into being then? Well, God created it, of course, and many ideas have been presented as to how the universe came into being. But no one really knows except God. Trying to understand God is like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. Can't do it. So you got to understand what you can of him. He's the only one who can tell us about it. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that verse reveals God the creator of the heavens and the earth at some unknown time in the past. I told you it's going to be basic. But by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. Job, when you get into Job, it talks a lot about the body. See, God puts things like little tidbits and little rewards as you read the Bible. All of a sudden, he'll throw something at you. Like, wow, did you read that? Where'd that come from? Prophecies and so forth. Just kind of jump out. Study yourself approved. Psalms 33:6. Holy Spirit, help me. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So, God's word is powerful also. Words are very powerful. Words can change DNA. Do you know this? Language, speaking certain, can change DNA over the long term. Speaking negative words actually had an effect on water in one experiment. affected the DNA particles of this water. Made some people sick, long story short. It affects particles. Words are powerful. Prayer is powerful. God's word is also creative, that it brings into being that which he commands to be. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalms 33, 9. Psalms 33 is a good one to read. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. His words make things move, stop, or come together. His power, his words. So that means, if you are born again, and you're obedient to God, you can speak and that mountain will move, is a literal term. But only in the will of God. I can't do it. Hey, Mary, watch what I can do. It don't work that way. And if Copeland, like they said, who's another TBN guy, 33 degree Mason, says that one day he spoke to a tornado and a water spout and it went up in the air. That doesn't glorify God. But Satan would do it to give him power. Satan can also, is God of the air. But he's limited in what he can do. But God created everything. God spoke and the heavenly bodies came into being. He commanded and they stood fast in the paths which he planned for them. So, not only did God create all things, but he also controls them by his mighty power. The Bible says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, how do we know this? Well, obviously, you have to go by faith. Go to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Bible is so amazing, written by men that had no knowledge of science whatsoever. That means they were guided by God, by the supernatural, by the Holy Spirit. Faith gives us the only factual account of creation, actually. God is the only one who was there. Moses wasn't there, but God instructed Moses what to write. God's the only one who was there. He tells us how it happened. He was the only one that's there. So we believe his word, and thus we know. The conception of God was preexistent to matter, and by his fiat, calling it into being, is beyond the domain of reason or demonstration. We don't have the dimensional capacity. It's accepted by an act of faith. By faith, we understand. The world says that seeing is believing, boy. God says believing is seeing. What did Jesus say to Martha? He said, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see?" About Elijah, opened the eyes of his servant so his fear would go away. He had to tell the servant that. Apostle John wrote, "These things I've written to you who believe, that you may know." You know, the worlds were framed by his word and the word of God. God spoke, matter came into being. And that actually agrees perfectly with man's discovery that matter is essentially energy. Talked about that many times. When God spoke, there was a flow of energy in the form of sound waves They were transformed into matter, and the world sprang into being. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So energy is invisible, is it not? So are atoms and molecules, gases, and all that to the naked eye. Yet in combination, they become visible under a certain frequency of vibration. Well, I'll tell you what it is. Schumann resonance is 7.82. The fact of creation set forth in Hebrews 11.3 is unimpeachable. It's never been improved on and never will. They keep trying to mess with it. Hadron Collider, God particle. Oh, hello. The account of creation that he gives us in Genesis is brief, actually. Yet God has told us everything we need to know about the beginning of the universe. Yet we still want to know more of that of which we can't understand in the first place. He tells us what we need to know. Now, nobody knows when the earth was created. God has yet revealed this to us, but he's not told us that. But just Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We don't know that what the earth was like at that time, but everything in the verse points to God's power. There's people say that there's a creation before, and it was a war in the heavens, and it was a nuclear war, and planets were destroyed. Murdoch was the planet that provided the ring around Saturn, and on and on and on. Everything in the verse points to God's power, his wisdom and perfection. He brought everything together. What does it say in Job 38:7? It says, the morning star is saying together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Sons of God were the angels. High-level angels when God created the earth. Job 38:4-7. That's very significant. Sons of God, absolutely, were not the sons of Seth. There's quite a few preachers out there that want to try to tell you that the sons of God were the sons of Seth. How come somebody don't challenge your preacher on this, man? Well, experience, they do get mad at you. I have a tendency to make people mad. I don't mean to. I really don't. But I'm not going to sit there with a question lingering in my head when he says that the sons of God were the sons of Seth. And my question is, well, okay, but how did they exist before the creation of the earth? That's a pretty basic question there. In Genesis 1:2, there's a different scene. Bible says, and the earth was or became without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And for some reason, some way, and at some time, the earth became formless and empty. So, I don't know. How long the earth may remain this condition, we don't really know. But all this dark scene that we have described to us in the Bible, the Spirit of God brooded and God spoke. God said, let there be light. And instantly there was light. Because he speaks, it happens. Remember Jesus when he walked on the water, or when he's on the ship, on the boat, excuse me. He spoke and the storm stopped. And what manner of man is this that could, even the weather beckons to his call? Because Jesus Christ was God incarnated in the first place. God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called darkness night. The Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, Satan knows what was written in the Bible. He's there. So he brings up the Aztecs and brings up the Mayans and brings up Sumerians and brings up all these ancient mysteries of religions, and he knew about the flood, and so he has a copy explanation using the ancient mysteries to try to fake out people. And it works. It's what's going on today. On the second day, God formed the sky and the clouds, and which the Bible calls the firmament. The water and the clouds were separated. Listen, the water and clouds were separated from the water upon the earth. So the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the second day. There's water up there. From what I'm reading in the Bible and what's going on, NASA's not telling us the truth about what's really up there. We depend on them, and remember, they're under a blood oath to lie. They just are, and they know that too. On the third day, God separated the waters from the land. He called the dry land earth, and he called the waters the seas, and God caused the earth to bring forth grass and herbs and fruit trees. The Bible says, in the evening and the morning were the third day. How long is a day? Oh, that's another discussion. Nobody ever comes to any conclusion. We can sit here and talk about it for 3 minutes. 24-hour literal day, or is days another consideration? I'm not going to go there because I just be around in circles, chase my tail. Nobody's ever even, theologians have not even come to a conclusion. Hovind versus Hugh Ross. I follow Hovind. Hugh Ross got some really good stuff too, but they're opposite about long or short creation days. Everybody's got chicken. And there's some bones stuck there somewhere. But the Bible has all chicken. All meat, no bones. God separated the waters from the land, became one landmass. He called the dry land earth, and he called waters the seas. The earth was into one landmass. Altogether, was no separation of land. Until actually, to the past the flood, 1,500 years, according to when you read the Bible about from Seth all the way to Noah, it was like 1,550 years. And then from Noah to about 12, 13 generations, God finally divided the land. 10 generations after Nimrod and the separation of languages. God caused the earth to bring forth grass and herbs and fruit trees. And the Bible says in the evening and the morning were the third day. Now on the fourth day, God made the sun and the moon and gave the light upon the earth by day, by night, for different seasons. Uh-huh. The Bible says in the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Family, I submit to you, and some of you are not going to like this, but I submit to you the reality is the entire universe and all these planets I'm talking about, all these bodies and we're talking about everything, all the constellations, all the galaxies, everything was created for the earth to sustain life. Maybe we'll get to it today. I don't know. Maybe Monday. But the constellations provided direction for man on earth to go when they're on the water and on the land. It provides the electromagnetic energy, the forces necessary to sustain life on earth. Move one constellation, one large planet, and we would feel the difference here on earth. Caused Mercury to get closer to the sun. brings Uranus closest to us. Fire up Jupiter as a sun would put Mars away, would cause all, it'd be like a pool table. You see? And what happens if you move the moon away or closer? It affects our clock. It affects our tides. Everything's connected. Everything is connected. One thing's moved out of the way, messes up all kinds of things going on. It's a very, very, very delicate balance. On the fifth day, God created the fish and the birds, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth. And the Bible said something like, well, the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, we're on the fifth day right now, and let me tell you something. Where'd this come from? Come from Moses. Now, my question is, what college did Moses go to? How about that? What college did he go to? What scientists did he talk to or talk about? Where did he get this knowledge from? I mean, why did he have it in such perfect order? Why did he say on the first day, God created man? On the second day, well, he created the fish and the birds. You can't do that. When you go through all the way now to the fifth day, and you'll find this the sixth and seventh day, is in perfect order scientifically. Now, you're not going to get your little fishies and go buy the fish and throw them in the aquarium and throw the sand on there and pour some water in. Yeah, you're not going to do it. You're going to buy the tank first. You know what I mean? And then you're going to buy the tank. You're going to buy the sand. And you're going to do it in order, aren't you? And then the very last thing you're going to do in order, you're going to check the temperature of the water. I never had one, so I'm just guessing here. Temperature of the water, make sure it's got the right chemical stuff in it. And you're going to, you know, the bubbly thing that does all whatever it's done, the filter and all that's fixed up. You got your little light, you got your sand, you got your little pirate ship and things down there. And, you know, and it's got the right tip. Everything's right. And then the last thing ceremoniously, you're going to go to the pet shop and start saying, I want that one and that one and I like that one, yeah. And please, don't put no piranha in there, too. Yeah. Anyway, and you're going to come back with your little bag full of fishies and whatever, and you're going to pour them in there and start naming them, aren't you? So how did Moses know how to write this if he did it by himself? How did he know? How did anybody know? Anybody, don't matter who it is, know to write that exactly in the perfect order. It's like winning the lottery, seven numbers. What's the chances of that happening? Unless he had a little bit of divine help. From the one that did it? Uh-huh. Moses would have got something out of whack here. No way he'd have gotten order. He had no knowledge of science or science, earth, history or any of that. Nothing. Zero. He's a Bedouin. Moses never went to college. If you know what I mean. Remember earth science back in the 70s? I remember the teacher, Mr. Riley, Mount Airy. What year was it? 1970, 69? Earth science. On the sixth day, after the fourth day, the fifth day, the fowl that flew above the earth, and the evening and the morning of the fifth day, the sixth day, God created all the animals and reptiles of the earth. Last of all, he created man. The Bible said that God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 1, verse 31. Oh, I know. Yeah. They say that man was created before Adam and Eve. Say what? Oh, yeah, your Hebrew Roots movement and your Arnold Murray and Herbert Armstrong, a sacred name, Hebrew Roots, Christian identity, etc., say that there was pre-Adamic race. Adam and Eve were the first Jews. Oh, man, that's not even in the Bible. Abraham was the first Jew. Hebrew, Israelite, Jew, in that order. And they say, and they use Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. I can clear that up later. That's be kind of another path I'd take. But they're talking about man was created in Genesis 1. And then he created Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. That's not true. Genesis 2 is describing in detail how the breath of life went to man that he created in Genesis 1. It's just a further discussion. Genesis 2 is a further discussion of Genesis 1. There's no scripture to support their assertion that man was created before Adam and Eve. And then the Jews are the ones cursed and not man, you see? Oh, yeah. There you go. That the Jews are cursed and Gentiles was created before Adam and Eve or not. Whoo, man, they twist that thing around like the peppermint twist. Chubby Checker would have something to say about that. Huh. In the creation of man, God's, you could say, most wonderful creation was man, because man was created in God's own image and after his own likeness. And boy, Satan didn't like that one little bit. Made him feel like the redheaded stepchild. He didn't like that, not at all. In Genesis 1:26, let us make man, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Our. Yeah. God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, all separate, yet all together the same one. Yep, it's that dimensional thing going on. Our minds cannot comprehend the dimensional capacity of God and the Trinity. Well, I know, they'll say the Trinity is not in the Bible. But what's the Trinity? God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible either. The Trinity is just a name for the three that are one. 1 John 5, verse 7. So what did he name the first man? Adam was his name. Well, they try to divide up and say Adam. Oh, here we go, Christian identity once again. Strikes. God created a wife for Adam. Her name was Eve. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Whoa, wait a minute. What happened to blood? There weren't any. Wasn't any blood. It was flesh and bone. No blood. No need for blood and heart to beat. Because they were made perfect. Eternal. Till they sinned. Then came blood into the body. I throw these little tidbits out every now and then. I believe in the theology. I think the Mormons believe this. Actually. I didn't get it from them, but I think this is their belief, and I agree with it, that part of it anyway, that really there's no need for blood. That's in the physical realm. What's blood do? Keep the body alive. Well, if you're eternal, don't need it, and God wouldn't put it up there just for nothing. Why did he put them to eat the fruit of the Garden of Eden? It was for enjoyment and pleasure. That means they had not to sustain themselves. They didn't have a feeling of hunger. You shall never hunger. Well, that means eternal life, because when you have eternal life, there's no need to hunger and die when you're eternal. Oh, connect those dots. Adam and Eve didn't come up from lower forms of animal life by process of evolution. Adam and Eve did not come from being planted by some aliens. Because then you have to ask the question, don't stop there. If you're going to believe that, you got to keep going. You can't just stop. Because this is exactly what they're going to tell you. This is exactly what they are telling mankind that follow the alien Pleiadians, the ascended masters' point of view. They're going to come. But these are fallen angels, liars, sons of God of the Old Testament. Second wave of them after Nimrod, the watchers. Oh, I know, the book of Enoch, it talks about them. And the book of Enoch, about 70% true, 80%, 70%. Well, it was never written by Enoch. It's not God-inspired. If you read the book of Enoch, good luck. If you read it, it's got some truth in it. It's a testament to the angels. But remember, research I've done, though, has indicated that there's two fallen angels that pretty much took over the book of Enoch. Enoch never wrote it, of course, but there's a fallen angel by the name of Enoch, and I have another name for him, but that wrote that book of Enoch, and it's a lot of mistakes in the book of Enoch. And there's some truth in it as well. That's how they got to pull you in. And it talks about the fallen angels and the watchers and what have you. But talks about nothing about salvation. And it definitely wasn't written by Enoch. So there's two problems already. Eat the chicken, spit out the bones. But Adam and Eve did not come from lower forms of animal life. Matter of fact, they can't even get it straight. In my day, it was monkeys, was your great-great-great times 10,000 aunt or uncle or whatever, or father or mother or something, was monkeys. Monkeys came from something, another amoebas or whatever, I don't know. Then they changed it to literally. I've got an article that they say now scientists are saying that the origin of mankind was some worm in Canada. Congratulations, Canada. You have a worm that became man. Wow. Where's my bell at? I still got my bell over here. And then I read another article, and these were reputable scientists from Sweden or Norway or something or another that said the origin of man came from a bacterium. Okay, great. So it came from a bacterium that turned into a worm. The worm turned into a monkey, and the monkey turned into me. Okay, I got it. Yeah, all right. And what you've been smoking? Bible says God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. Satan didn't like that at all. You were created to replace Satan. Excuse me, I'm wrong. You were created to replace Lucifer, who later became Satan. You see, God was pleased with all he had created. He pronounced it very good. Yep, I told you it's going to be basic tonight, but I will get into other areas. I'm going to take it slow, too. No rush. Sometimes I get fired up and I start spilling it right out, but I'm going to slow myself down. And I may end up going part two on Monday, on Tuesday. If I don't get through tonight, what I want to get through to. I can go all kinds of different directions with this. that I do have some details. I'll eventually get to how the heavens are actually organized, and we'll talk about the seven principalities, how Satan's got it organized. And it's part of knowing your enemy, but it's also part of knowing your Creator. But using Scripture, my opinion, I'll throw it out there and say this is my opinion. Let's see how this works. Here we go.
And God stepped out on space. And he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights, down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, that's good. And God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet, and God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea and God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, bring forth. And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam. The rivers and the seas roamed the forests and the woods and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Then God walked around and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun. He looked at his moon. And he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down, and there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
The Creation by Whitney Phelps and James Weldon Johnson. One of my favorites. James Weldon Johnson. God the Creator, worthy of all worship. You know, we've learned a lot of truths along the way through the Bible, but the most important one is this. God is the Creator of all things. Universe, the earth, and living creatures did not come into being by themselves. Even atheists can agree with that. God created them. Of course, they got a different idea about that, but had to have something to get started. They have to use. Isaiah 45:12 says, I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. So, since God created all things, then to whom do all things belong? All things belong. To whom? They belong to God. We don't own a thing. And certainly Satan doesn't. Man, we're renters. All things belong to the one who created them. We seem to forget that nowadays. So then brings us to the question, why did he create all these things? He created them for his glory. He can do that, you know. In the creation of the universe, the earth, and all living creatures, God manifested his power, his glory, and his wisdom. Again, Psalms 19:1. In Psalms 19:1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. See, because God is the creator of all things, he alone is the one who should receive all worship, not us. Certainly not Satan and the fallen angels. Do we worship Christianity? Do we worship Jesus? I've read in certain articles, even in Christian magazines, where they say this, that, or the other proves Christianity. I'm like, since when? It proves the existence of Jesus, yeah. Christianity was created by the Vatican in the 4th century. It don't prove Christianity. We ain't trying to prove Christianity. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Not a religion. Not about religion, not about a country, not about family. It's not about flags or sovereignty, all that stuff. It's about Jesus Christ. People keep forgetting about Jesus. Holding on to the physical things in this world. It's going to go bye-bye. So, if he alone receives worship, then what's worship? Worship is the love and reverence and obedience which are due to God because of what he did. We should never worship any man, preacher, rabbi, priest, four walls, religion, country, flag, whatever. No worship there. For what? Worship is the love and reverence and obedience which are due to God. No man, no angel, no creature, no object. Matthew 4:10. Matthew 4, verse 10. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. So, why should God alone be worshipped then? Because he is the creator. Because he alone is worthy of all worship. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasures they are and were created. Then here comes a long man we'll get around to it. That's another program, I guess, maybe. But I tell you what, when he created man, and you think it's by evolution, then you got to answer, how did evolution figure out the circulatory system? How did evolution figure out the digestive system? How did evolution figure out the endocrine system? How did it figure out the immune system? The lymphatic system, the muscular system, the nervous system, reproductive system, respiratory system, skeletal system, urinary system. Wouldn't, if it was by accident, it had left a system or two out? Boy, that would hurt. That wouldn't have been fun at all. Been unfun. That's the opposite of fun. Unfun. Because it's like I friend you, unfriend you. You ever see that commercial? I laugh every time I see that commercial. What commercial? Well, the commercial they have on the internet. I don't have TV, but with those three older ladies, and one of them says, I've saved a lot of time by posting all my pictures on my wall. Well, she's got them all posted on her wall, on her house wall. And then they start talking about some insurance or something. But the one in the middle is like looking at both of them like they're both crazy. One says, oh, I like that picture. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how it works. She says, well, I unfriend you. That's not how it works. You know, well, it's not how it works. Creation of man we'll talk about later. Let's stay with the universe right now. I tell you what, maybe Tuesday I'll talk about the creation of man. But if you think it all came by accident, man, I got news for you. I've used the example many times before. If you think all this I've talked about right now is created by accident, literally, it's like a tornado going through a junkyard, and by the twisting of the winds and the tornado, it put together a perfectly run automobile. There's no way possible that this could, it's impossible. 33 different processes. Family, when you have a fight and flight syndrome, when you realize for real that your life's in danger, and I teach these classes in self-defense and all that, but anyway, so I would say to the police officers that I trained, and I also trained instructors, and I would tell them, I said, whenever you have a fight or flight syndrome, your body goes through about 4,000 chemical changes at one time, in one instant. Boom! 4,000, adrenaline is one. Got 3,999 more to go. How does the body know that? ,000 chemical changes at one time when your life's threatened. Not accident. So, in the beginning, God formed the foundations for faith and believe in these words. That you can believe all that follows the Bible. Genesis, when we talk about it, it provides us the only authoritative account of creation, really. All the other religions have one, but they're copied from what Satan knows to try to keep people confused. Well, after the earth was created, or even before the earth was created, when you talk about the firmament, it gets a little sticky, according to history or scientific knowledge today. It says in Genesis, as I read to you, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Now, think about it for a minute. What waters? What waters are you talking about here? Let a firmament be in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. That gets a little sticky, don't it? It seems the earth was completely surrounded by a thick layer of water. Maybe in the form of heavy vapor. On the second day, God divided this layer and part covering the earth with water, part forming clouds and with the atmospheric layers. The firmament or a dome, which is between God, called the firmament heaven. That is to say that the expanse of space immediately above the earth, not the stellar heavens, nor the third heaven where God resides. But verse 20, when you go into it, makes it clear that heaven, there is a sphere where the birds fly. So what's going on here? It's one of the greatest puzzles ever been concerning the creation account, the firmament term. Mostly because of the Hebrew definition, knowing that God guided the translators and scribes. A primitive root word to pound the earth is a sign of passion, by analogy to expand, hammering by implication, overlay like thin sheets of metal or something like that is the definition. But most people interpret that to mean the expanse of the sky, the atmosphere or outer space. So there's waters up there he divided. So that tells me there's three heavens. Well, and I get to the three heavens shortly, and probably I definitely see part two coming next Tuesday. But that tells me that between the earth and third heaven is water. I don't ever remember the spaceship Enterprise going through a lot of water. Although, in some of this science fiction, they do refer to a water-like substance, don't they? They refer to that sort of a hint to the different portals. Interesting. When you read about modern scholars, they talk about this firmament as a relic of pre-scientific culture of some scorn. Translate the Hebrew word rakia, R-A-Q-U-A, rakia, something like that. It's rendered as firmament in the King James Bible, kind of like a dome or a vault in the modern Bibles. R-A-Q-I-A, firmament. The problem that puzzles people these days, theologians and such, is the implication of the Hebrew language, the firmament, being a firm, fixed structure. Firmament. So you've got what's explained in the context of a ruin reconstruction interpretation of Genesis. Now, you have old earth and young earth that collide with each other. Hovind is young earth, and what's his name? Oh, yeah, Hugh Ross is old earth. And they'll argue or they'll debate at one time when Hovind wasn't in prison. He was given the evolutionist one horrible time. They set him up like they did Bill Cooper, except didn't kill Hovind. Set him up like Springmeier. Put him in prison, Hovind. I recommend you go on his YouTube. His lectures are very good. And he is causing a whole lot of trouble for the evolutionists. Tax evasion they got him for. Young Earth creationists, they interpret the waters above the firmament as a theoretical water canopy, which at one time surrounded the earth but no longer exists, allegedly. The source of the waters, Noah's flood, and of course under the earth too. It's a theory. Concept doesn't hold water, really, in a way. Sometimes some people say that when it's closely examined within the literal framework of the Genesis narrative, the reason, because what it says in Genesis 1, 14 and 16, says, and God said that there be light in the firmament of the heaven, and divide the light from the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That's Genesis 1, 14 and 16. And that verse right there is what I, in my opinion, at this point, say that the universe was created for the earth. Because it tells you what it's created for right there. You need to have them out there for signs here on earth, for seasons here on earth, for the days, for the years, for directions to service the earth. The verse says the sun, moon, the stars are in the firmament. Therefore, if you apply the rules of grammar and logic, those waters are above the firmament, must be above the sun, moon, and stars as well. That means these waters are above the visible cosmos. That's kind of hard to deal with, isn't it? That's what it's saying. Or is there water outside the Van Allen belt that they're not telling us about? We really don't know. Because you know that you can't trust NASA at all. It was designed to justify the claim that there's aliens. That's what it was for, 1966. Iron Mount Report tells you what it's for. I'm not going there tonight, but I will tell you these two. In the Iron Mount Report, when they discuss how to control people in the times of peace, 1966, NASA developed a space research program aimed at unreachable targets. And number two, develop an extraterrestrial menace. That was the further, because they planned that in 1897, 1900, for extraterrestrial menace. Quite interesting. So, Psalms 148, verse 4, King James Bible. Praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. So, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, all wisdom and knowledge is found. Colossians 2, verse 3. The same holds true for the Holy Scriptures, the written Word of God. So, according to Scriptures, there's a physical, spiritual structure of the universe. And Paul, apostle, talks about the importance of the knowledge of the book of Ephesians, where he wrote, quote, in 3:17 to 19, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So, when you look at the grammar of this verse from King James Bible, he's talking about two different things in the passage. The first is the structure. The breadth, length, width, height, depth, height. The breadth, length, depth, and height, I believe. And the second is to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. In other words, we don't have dimensional capacity. And the important key word is the conjunction and that separates two clauses. You know, I got a basic knowledge. I'm a Southern boy. Southern English, you might say. American Southern English. I use double negatives sometimes. It's fun. So in other words, Paul's saying that there's two things that us believers can know. That the dimensions and structure of all things, which can be defined. And the love of Christ, which is beyond our full comprehension by man. We don't have the dimensional capacity. So, a corollary to this, is that the truth of the passage is found in the Old Testament proverb. Go to 25, verse 3. Proverbs. The heaven for height, earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. So this firmament deals with the structure of the present heavens and earth in Genesis 2, verse 1. The original heaven and earth, Genesis 1, 1. And there's a three heavens structure. In the old world of the original creation, there was a different configuration. Genesis 1, 6 and 7. God said that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Yeah. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God's throne is in the third heaven. Waters above the firmament divides it into the vacuum of outer space, the second heaven. That's where the fallen angels reside. The demons and seven principalities. Now you got it. And God made the firmament divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Genesis 1, 7 verse to 8. So, above that is the earth's atmosphere. The first heaven. Listen to the waters on the earth's surface. Oh. And on the second day of creation, the Lord God divided the waters, plural, and the great deep into two parts with a firmament in the midst. So according to Genesis 1 verse 10, both the waters that were upon the face of the earth and the waters, if I remember correctly, which he placed above the firmament, is called the seas. Genesis 1 verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the waters he called seas. God saw it was good. And the earth then was one piece of land. They had finally one language, one culture. That's what the evidence shows. It's very important to understand because we know that the waters on earth are called seas in the Bible, but there's another sea that's spoken of in the Scripture. And that one's above the firmament. And notice also that when you go to Genesis 1:10, the King James Bible, sea is capitalized. That's important. But where above the firmament, during the 6 days of Genesis, God defined the three heavens. First heaven is the earth's atmosphere. Genesis 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. In the second heaven is a vast expanse of the physical universe, outer space as we kind of call it. Genesis 1, 14. And God said that there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the land, from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years. Genesis 1:14. That's why, again, I say that the whole universe was created to service the earth, and earth alone. And those two heavens that we're describing, it's called the firmament of the continuum. And collectively called heaven. And you got heavens. Genesis 1:8. God called the firmament heaven. Evening and the morning were the second day. So now the third heaven is above this higher sea. And this higher sea is before and below the throne of God. Revelation 4 verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So therefore, coming to a conclusion here that we'll definitely conclude on Tuesday. Or maybe even Monday. I don't know. I'll think about it. It'd be Monday or Tuesday night. I'll have it up in my archives, as I will have this. But there's a particular sea, and I'll finish here, above the firmament, that's also known as the physical universe outside. And the sun, the moon, the stars, and are in the firmament. The sea must be above them, does it not? Because we don't have the dimensional capacity, it's kind of hard for the science of man to fathom this, you see? That's why I told you what I told you about an hour ago. But it's a scriptural fact in cosmology. It talks about, it represents a firm and impassable barrier between the world of man, which is below, and the abode of God above. Uh-oh. So when you got the second heaven, where Satan resides, as above, and the first heaven where we are, as below. As above, so below. In Psalms 148:4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that's above the heavens. And in Revelation 4, verse 6, And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. In the present sea of separation, they'll no longer exist when God destroys the old world and makes things new again. That's after the thousand-year kingdom of heaven and final judgment. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Ho-ho. And that's the sea that's spoken of in Exodus 20, verse 11. Quoted by young earth creationist like Hovind. Exodus 20, verse 11, it says that, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them in it, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, in the Old Testament, unquote. Now, when I do this again, I'm going to do a refresher. Because I can't just start where I've left off. Because it is kind of complicated. And I'll have to start back again. And I'll talk about the third heaven in detail with Scripture. And in other places, I have a lot more to talk about. And then, I don't know, we'll keep going. We'll talk about the creation of man in detail. But unfortunately, the devil's in the details too. He keeps sticking his old nose into everything. Well, family, we're at the end of the program already. I appreciate y'all coming by. I'm going to have these downloaded and uploaded, whatever you want to call it. And put them up there, and you can go back to them. And we'll do a refresher next time we talk about this again. It'll be Monday or Tuesday. Well, family, y'all have a great weekend. And pass these around if you deem necessary. Let y'all know that we're played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania by HighPointRadio.net. HighPointRadio.net, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays us randomly on his network. He's building up his network. He puts up one antenna per month. This recently, he started growing. So all y'all up there that hears him and your radios, he plays our broadcast and our Bible studies. So y'all support him. And also we played at KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network. And we're played up there as simulcast. And Monday nights, we're played, I have a broadcast on RevelationRadioNetwork.org. RevelationRadioNetwork.org from 8 to 10. And, of course, my regular broadcast Monday through Fridays. Four to six. Let's see. And Tuesday to Friday, of course, is Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And I've got a cat that jumped up here and missed a lot of things and almost got me, jumped in my lap. Oh, these cats scare you sometimes. The rascals ambush you. Or call them Oreo, black and white cat. She, that is. Y'all have a great weekend, and I appreciate y'all dropping by. And we'll see y'all next week. Yeah, I know, they got the financial reset coming, got aliens coming, they got Fukushima, they got Agenda 21, they got flying meteorites and who knows whatever else, and guillotines here and guillotines there, and I don't know what else, so forth and so on. Family, God's in control. Judgment is coming. When? Don't know. It's in God's time, not ours. Get close to him. You got to worry about rapture and all that. Rapture could be pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, whatever it is. It's God's business, not ours. If you're ready, you're not going to worry about it. If you take Jesus Christ as Savior, don't even have to worry about dying. Those who worry about death are afraid to live. This word, just do what you got to do. But trust in the Lord thy God. Lord, thou hast created the earth and the heavens and all that's in them. May we ever worship and adore thee, thou who art the great creator. Create to me a clean heart. Make it thine own dwelling place. Amen. He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready for him? That's the main thing. It's between you and Jesus Christ, not anybody else. Nobody else. Everybody tries to stick their nose in it besides you. Well, you stick your nose in there and stay there. It's not about other people, other ministers or rabbis or whatever. You get you a good one, stay with them. It's hard to find these days because they're slipping away. You're slipping away. And so, he's alive and well. So he'll have a great night. And we'll see you all soon. And to end up the program, sometimes we do something different. One of my favorite ones right here. I like pretty much. It's all about people. All about love. It's all about caring about each other.
Let me hear the worship.
Oh yeah. And here you go.
Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Good night. God bless. This is the Watchman for Jesus, signing off.